Well, that's Mothering Sunday. Yes, my granddaughter was busy crocheting a little pocket, a little basket for my my daughter on Friday when I had her. She's very excited. She'd bought a few things for her mum. I'm sure there's lots of children today bought things for their mum and appreciating their mums in every way they can. It's a privilege to come and to just speak with you. I haven't done this before in here, but I have done it quite a few times before. But anyway, I wanted to look today at a very special mother, I think. And there's lots of other mothers in the Bible who are very special as well. In recent times, I've been doing Bible studies for our church. And I found it very interesting, doing the Bible study, I found it very interesting that certain people in the Bible, lots of times women, only appear in one or two chapters of the Bible, but what they have to do is really important. We've looked in the Bible studies I've been doing with Abigail, and she only appears in 1 Samuel 25, but she has a profound effect on David's behavior at that particular time, if you know that chapter. Then there's the widow of Zarephath, in 1 Kings 17, who announced to Elijah that she knew he was a man of God and spoke the truth. She lived right in the heartland of idols, but she had learned of the Lord and she trusted him. And she gets a mention in Luke 4, verse 26. Now, another two people we looked at, Hannah and Elizabeth, both mothers, who have a profound effect on the lives of the individuals, their sons, who they brought up. But they're only briefly mentioned in the Bible. We think of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who was only mentioned in 1 Samuel, chapters 1 and 2. But she played a significant part in the early life of Samuel. She dedicated Samuel to the Lord and took him to the temple after he had been weaned. In those days, it took a long time. They weaned their children a lot longer than we do today in our day and age. Samuel turned out to be a powerful influence. He turned the nation of Israel back to God from backsliding. He became the high priest. He anointed Saul as the first king of Israel. And he also anointed David, who was the greatest king of Israel. Hannah was his mother. An ordinary woman with faith in the living God. Her short time with her son had a profound influence on his life. And then there's Elizabeth. She only appears in a very short sections in the Bible. However, she had an extraordinary experience of honor of being the first person to confess Jesus in the flesh when she met up with Mary on that very first occasion when Mary went to visit her. And before the birth of her own son, John the Baptist. What a blessing and encouragement she was to Mary at that time, and how influential she must have been in bringing up her son, John the Baptist, who was a very important position for her, because he was to prepare the way for the Lord. One of the ladies in our Bible group wrote to me and said, if only people would read the Bible and realize there's so many jewels in its pages. Just a quote. So as it's Mothering Sunday, I thought we'd look at quite a courageous lady in the Bible who only appears a very short time, and one who was a godly mother who gave birth and raised a very important leader for the Israelites. We associate the reading this morning we had with a Sunday school lesson, which was with very young children, and they enjoy it. It's a lovely story. It's a beautiful story. Another lady in our Bible group commented about the story of Joseph, which we'd studied, and she said, for non-churchgoers and stories have generally been well portrayed in film and on a stage, but it's only by study that we understand the deeper meaning. We're looking at Joseph at the time. This morning, I want to look a little deeper and a little closer to begin and to understand the context and the courage of Jochebed, the Hebrew mother in this story, who can be described undoubtedly as a godly mother. She is mentioned by name in Exodus 6, verse 20 and Numbers 26, verse 59. Abraham Lincoln declared, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." It's quite a statement, isn't it? But I think it's true, especially for the children Jochebed raised. If you just look at the context of this story in a little bit of detail, Joseph had brought his family to Egypt and protected them there. However, after Joseph's death, they multiplied into a nation. It tells us this in Exodus 1, verse 6. But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became too numerous that the land was filled with them. It's quite a description, isn't it? When a new king, Pharaoh, came to rule who did not know Joseph, he decided to put this nation to Israel, of Israel, to work as slaves in the land of Egypt, with slave masters over their lives. They were worked ruthlessly, with all kinds of work in the fields, and particularly building bricks, etc. However, the more they worked, the more they multiplied. The king said to the Hebrew midwives that when they were helping the Hebrew women during childbirth, if they saw the baby was a boy, they were to kill it. But they were to let the girl children alive. This plan of Pharaoh to kill off all the male children was Pharaoh's plan for population control, and nothing less than genocide. It can also be described as one of Satan's earliest attempts to prevent the birth of the Messiah by attacking the Jewish race. However, the Hebrew midwives feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt told them, and they let the boys live. When summoned by the Pharaoh, their explanation to him was, well, the Hebrew women have their children so quickly that we don't have time to get there. So when Pharaoh gave the decree to all his people, all the people, every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Exodus 1 verse 22. A shocking edict. It's hard for us to comprehend the terror tactics of the ancient pharaohs. They were idol worshippers and corrupt and held contempt for the God of Israel, or the God of the Israelites. So, hatred, hostility, and hard labor were the facts of the life for the Hebrew people at this time. When Jochebed and Amred had a baby boy, their third child. Few women have to raise a child in more difficult circumstances. But on the news a week or so ago, we looked at the people in Yemen and the children going to school in Yemen and the houses in Yemen and what the place looks like. I can't imagine trying to bring up a child and educate a child in those circumstances. So there are areas of our world which are very difficult places to bring up children. But the fact is that a Moses, a Miriam, and an Aaron could come from a slave hut on the Nile says much about Jochebed's influence. Hebrews 11 verse 23 says, links the faith of Moses to the faith of his mother and father. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. I want to really look a bit at the faith of this Jochebed in these circumstances. There are lessons for us all, I think, in this story. Jochebed was an Israelite, one of God's chosen people. She was also of the tribe of Levi, from which the priests and those who carry out the duties of the tabernacle and the temple later came. Her husband was Amram, and it's evident they were dedicated people. They were willing to defy the order of Pharaoh and keep God's commands. Jochebed knew it was wrong to destroy her child and refused to give in to a nation that worshipped many gods that would cost the life of her son. Her faith, first of all, gave her courage. She was not paralyzed by these circumstances. She resisted the heathen culture, and in doing so, she believed God would spare her son's life. She had no means of making that certain, and it must have been incredibly difficult to keep both the baby and the entire affair quiet. But she was going to trust God. I hardly can imagine what it was like to try and keep this child quiet. Her faith was rewarded, however. The hour had struck for the Hebrew nation to be released from slavery in Egypt. The prophecy given to Abraham about four centuries earlier was about to be fulfilled. Genesis 15, verses 13 and 14. Then the Lord said to Abraham, know for a certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there, but I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. The nation that Satan wanted to stamp out of existence was about to rise up. This baby born to Jochebed and Amred would be the instrument of their deliverance. Jochebed believed that God is greater than Pharaoh. So her faith was inventive. After 3 months, it was no longer possible to keep the baby as they were. So decisions had to be made. In effect, Moses was condemned to death. How does God save someone condemned to death? Maybe they remembered the ark. When God condemned the world to death, he told Noah to build an ark in order to save his family from the wrath to come. That ark was to be covered inside and outside with pitch. Is that where the idea of the creation of the basket of bulrushes or papyrus came from? Is that where the plan for a waterproof basket came from? She would put her son in the Nile, as instructed by Pharaoh, but in a basket, a special basket. This was a huge issue. If Pharaoh found out, she could be destroyed and her baby with her. It seemed Jochebed knew exactly what she was doing. Egyptian riverboats, apparently, were made with the same reeds and waterproof tar. The reeds that grew in the swampy areas along the River Nile were as tall as 5 meters, and so a small basket hidden among the reeds would be well insulated from the weather and difficult to see. So her faith also allowed her to release this child. And it must have taken great faith to place Moses in the river. The river was the instrument being used to destroy other babies. She now had to take her hands off the life of her child and leave it to the will of God. There's no way of knowing exactly what she was thinking would happen. However, she had posted Miriam, or Dad had posted Miriam, Moses' older sister, must have had some training in what to do when she was positioned to watch the site where the basket had been placed, and when she saw anyone, in this case it was Pharaoh's daughter, discovered Moses, she was quickly to take the initiative and make a suggestion that her mother might nurse the baby. It doesn't say if Miriam was afraid to approach the Egyptian princess, or if the princess was suspicious of the Hebrew girl. There's no mention of that. The princess did approach her and bought the surface of Miriam's mother. The family was now reunited. Pharaoh's plan was being foiled by his own daughter. And ironically, Moses would be brought up in Pharaoh's palace. As Jochebed released her child, he was given back to her. But it still took great faith to raise her child in such harsh conditions in which they lived. We don't know how long the princess allowed Jochebed to nurse Moses. Often in those days, a child, as I said before, was weaned for a lot longer, for several years, in fact. She was given the opportunity to teach Moses about Jehovah, about true worship, and right living. We can probably summarize what Jochebed said to herself. I don't have this child for long, but please God help me. I'm going to teach my son about God before the professors of Egypt turn to fill his mind with foolishness. What would she have taught him? Probably about the Tower of Babel, Abraham and the covenant, Lot and his wife, Ishmael and Isaac, Jacob and Esau, and the 12 patriarchs. She also would have probably taught them why the Hebrew people were in the situation they were in, and that they were slaves in Egypt, and about the prophecy that about 400 years they would be in 400 years they would be delivered. She had the opportunity to teach him God's ways. Who would believe and trust in God? We who believe in trust in God are to do the same. All we can do is our best. Eventually, the order came from the palace, send Moses. As Jochebed kissed him goodbye, she probably said to him, remember what I've taught you. Moses never forgot that he was a Hebrew. And the universities of Egypt, the temptations of the palace, the lure of position, power and wealth, and the possibility of a worldly throne never erased this mother's training, because in Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 27, it says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Jochebed did a good job. Aaron was a spiritual leader, and Miriam was associated with the leadership of her brother. Moses was a great leader. How can we apply the lessons here in this story of Moses? Jochebed shows the extraordinary impact of a godly mother on the lives of her children. Central to that impact was her faith. She had courage. How is your faith in the circumstances of your life? Have you been or are courageous? If we compare the courage of his mother and Moses when he was called, we realize he needed some convincing to do what God had called him to do, to bring the people the people of Israel out of Egypt. In chapters Exodus chapters 3 and 4, it says, and he asks him lots of questions. God, he had plenty of questions for God. Who am I for such a task? Who shall I say sent me? What if they don't believe me or listen to me? I'm not a good speaker, and eventually he asks God to send somebody else. God suggests his brother Aaron to speak for him. Moses was a great leader, but ultimately he needed a lot of convincing. Is that like you? Well, we're all a bit like Moses, aren't we? We all need a bit convincing. Send someone else, or someone else can do it. Sometimes we need courage to step out in faith and trust God with a task the Lord has laid in our hearts for us to do. Do you need convincing? Do you need courage for the next task God has called you to do? I was challenged 2 years ago when Peter, our organist, left the church. And we'd been in the church about 7 years, and I seemed to be the only person who had ever touched an organ in the building. And so I only did it in my previous church because there was nobody else to do it. And I only have ever had a few primary school lessons on the piano. But I also reminded myself that God doesn't waste anything. And so I started playing the organ. I took the verse which the Lord gave me, which was Joshua 1, verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you. I had not played for 7 years. But I claimed this verse, and plenty of people encouraged me. Well, there was nobody else was there to do it. And as I slowly chose the hymns, practiced furiously, began to play and pray, I have to say. But it did work. I have been playing. I haven't played, obviously, now during the lockdown, but I've got better, I think, in practice. And that was quite a courageous thing for me. I mean, there's simple things that sometimes we need courage to do. But God can give us that courage. And now faith made Jochebed inventive or creative. Sometimes the Lord enables us to be creative and inventive in what he calls us to do. I began doing Bible studies for our ladies group in lockdown when one lady from our church group said, it would be nice to have a Bible study each week on a day we usually meet so that we can remember one another at that time. So I tentatively began doing the Bible studies. They've been quite successful. I have lots of comments from people and lots of encouragements from people. While I was writing this, the Daily Notes from UCB booklet talked about creativity. Don't put yourself down because you are not as creative as you would like to be. Creative thinking isn't necessarily original thinking. It's most often the composite of other people's thoughts discovered along the way. God has given us all talents and some creativity. We need to use it with our grandchildren and our children. Older people have more experience. than the younger generation. There is a need for good spiritual advice, the voice of experience, and the need to pray. The Open Doors booklet for March and April gives an account of people being very creative, making bread during lockdown and selling it to provide funds for the persecuted church. The previous month, somebody else was making marmalade and raised £300 for the persecuted church. And there was a little girl as well. She had a sleepover in the church, and she raised money for Syrian refugees. We talked about Syria in the prayers. In faith, Jochebed released her child. We have, as parents, had to take our hands off our children at a certain stage. We bring them up, we have to release them to make their own choices. Jochebed and Amred committed Moses to the basket of reeds. We cannot save our children, but we can continue to pray for them by a deliberate act of believing faith, backed by the power of godly lives. Christian parents must commit their children and keep praying for them. Protection, guidance in a world that is often hostile to Christianity. The enemy wants us to give up, but God wants us to bring them to him daily in our prayers. So as Jochebed had faith in her difficult circumstances, no matter what and how difficult our circumstances are, we need to trust the Lord in them. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? Let us continue to trust God as we are eased out of the lockdown, and keep trusting him for our children day by day. So we'll just end in a word of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the stories in the Bible which even young children can understand. We thank you too that we study the scripture a little bit more, we realize how faithful you have been to those who trust in you. Circumstances can be difficult, but you are faithful. And as we have sung in the chorus, we know that we can always trust you. Help us to do what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Help us to know that peace which comes from the Lord in our individual circumstances. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.